When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Coming up on Nothing Major, we have a nice little surprise segment we're going to lead off the show with. We're also going to answer the question, who had the third best year on the men's side in 2025? We're going to also go over some fan questions. We really enjoy that. And we're going to talk Davis Cup. We did not get to that on Monday. That's all ahead on the show. Let's get this started. All right. Welcome back to Nothing Major. John Isner here, joined with the whole crew once again, Jack Sox, Stevie Johnson, Sam Querrey, and Charlie Fox, and the team at SIFT Creative. Guys, last week, some news happened that really kind of flew under the radar in the sports world. And that was our very own Sam Querrey's retirement from pickleball. Sam,
that's correct.
You're such a humble and modest guy. You didn't want to bring attention to yourself. You didn't bring it up on last week's pod. That's just the type of guy you are. You know, much like Clayton Kershaw going out, like when the Dodgers, just kind of just keeping it low key, low profile. But I wanted to hand this segment off to Jack right now, who wants to say a few words.
Well, I just think as the guy who came after you in the pickleball world, you were like we said, you walked so we could run. You're the pioneer of the tennis to pickleball transition. And I just wanted to, as you say, give you your flowers and congratulate you on a phenomenal career.
Thank you.
Yeah. And
three
years of hard work and dedication with a tough injury in the middle of there, but you persevered, fought your way back on the tour, put in a lot of, you know, work to get to where you got in the sport. And and we even have a little clip from some would call the GOAT of pickleball, also wanting to congratulate you.
Annalee Waters?
On the male side.
On the men's side. We have a clip that the team's about to upload.
Yeah.
Oh my, I'm so excited.
All right, here we go, Sam. This is for you.
What is up, Sam? I was told to compose a happy retirement message for you, and I gotta be straight with you. I thought you were retired. I didn't know you were still playing. I thought you were just showing up tournaments to like commentate with Manassi or just watch me or something. But all that being said, I guess happy retirement, buddy.
Hey, John. Pretty cool, Ben Johns. Yes. Big shout out. I was still playing there at the end. That stings a little bit.
Let's start with this, Stevie. This was the famous.
You got to get to like top 10
or top. I mean, top 20 in 3 months, top 10 in 4 months.
I was wrong. Just like me predicting Carlos being outside the top five, I was wrong on this.
Have you ever seen that meme? It's like The haters said it couldn't be done. And honestly, the haters were right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's you, Sam. We're going to go over some career numbers. This one actually surprised us. Your career singles record is 11 and 13.
It's pretty good. Guys, I was good early.
It's facts.
Okay, that's...
I've always backed you on that.
No.
Okay, that's a lot better than I thought. I actually thought you were better at double, would have had a better doubles record.
I was a mixed doubles specialist. That's what I considered myself.
That's not what the numbers say.
What is his mixed doubles record, Stevie? Go ahead.
Look, I mean, I'm just getting some numbers here. Mixed doubles, he was, I think, career 8-21 or something, or up to 2025, right. Excuse me. But guys, Sam had a great 2025. Let's break down his 2025 numbers. In singles, no wins in singles, right? No wins in singles. He did the right thing. 0-9 in doubles this year. Tough.
Okay.
Let's get into the mix. 0-6, Mr. Specialist. So no wins this season for you before your retirement. How does that feel?
I mean, when you say it aloud, it didn't feel like... I felt like I had some wins, I guess. Again, I've been saying this my whole career. I was a victim of tough draws. I never found a soft spot. No openings.
Yeah.
And it was just, look, you can't overcome...
15 times
that.
In a row.
15 times in a row. What am I supposed to do? You can't overcome tough draws. Gods were out to get me. I mean, and not that's to, why I've had to move on.
I mean, I feel like you let Wes Burrows down. One of your best friends in the world, you let him down.
Well, he can find a new partner now. Hopefully.
So Sam, you said it didn't feel like zero wins and 15 losses this year?
I felt better than that.
So what did it feel like?
Did you feel like you got a win, or you knew you went over?
I know I didn't win this year. I lost 2 and 3. There are some 3-set losses. Look, it just...
I will say this is all good fun. This was supposed to be a fun little revenge segment for my double bounce clip and segment you guys did on me when I was talking to Charlie them. Slash, I do actually... you did pave the way for us tennis to pickleballers. So I do appreciate that, and sad to see you leave the tour.
I think Isner and I, you're gonna see us as a wild card in one event next year, if I had to guess.
Oh, nice. Maybe
did John want that?
I don't know. Yeah.
Did he even know that?
I'd love to play with Sam.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you'll be out first round.
We would. I'm so bad. Okay, Sam, last thing before we move on. Is it safe to say the highlight of your pickle career was beating a half-drunk Stevie Johnson after 36 holes of golf?
Unfortunately, it might be. Yeah, I mean, there's some good wins early on. You guys cherry-picked a little bit there. Find some early, like 2023 wins. There was some moments there that I had the belief that maybe it was going
to
be top 10.
Yeah. In all seriousness, like, trying to overcome an Achilles at 37, like, you were up against it. I mean, I'm being dead serious.
Yeah, no,
like,
that's for brutal. Sure. But I'll also brutal. Just, without that injury, I probably still wasn't going to have the results that I claimed I was going to have early on.
Yeah.
I'll admit that.
Did you... sorry, I said last thing. This is the last thing I have. Did you, in that clip that we just showed, top 10 in 4 months, like, did you really believe that, or was that a bluff the whole way?
I really believe... it's tough on the pickleball, as Jack knows. There's like singles, doubles, mixed doubles. There's 3 rankings. I generally believe that I would be like one of the top 10 players like relatively quickly. I realize after playing like a couple matches, that wasn't going to be the case. But I had to just run with the confidence. You know,
exactly.
I had to stand by my words and just kind of just eat it, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was great. And in my mind, all in all, you were great for the sport. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Your content was great.
I appreciate it. Jack, thanks for the nice words. That was a nice and a message from Ben Johns. How cool is that? For our fans, I mean, Ben Johns is like the Roger Federer of pickleball. So pretty cool for him to even know that I was at the events. I'll say that.
All right. Look, I know we give Sam a lot of crap on this show, at least today's, but I want to say thank you. I haven't seen him and talked to him in a week. I got a great holiday invite from him. I appreciate you sending an olive branch. Everyone knows that the Sam Querrey and now Abigail Querrey Christmas party is phenomenal. So thank you for the invite.
Yeah.
I'm going to politely decline, or I'm a hard maybe. I have some things going on in December, you know.
I told Abby not even to send you the invite because I know you're having a baby like the week before.
But thank you. I appreciate the invite. I know we're close friends and that means a lot to me. So thank you.
Yeah. I got Charlie Fox on the invite list too.
What about your co-host, Jack and...
I feel like I didn't get that.
Did you want an invite?
I'd love to hop on a plane with a wife and 4 kids and come to your party.
Oh, my. I didn't realize you didn't send him an invite, Sam.
No kids at the party.
I will say I'm a close JSX flight, but it's all right. I don't know.
Mm. I'll send you guys an invite.
Yeah, that feels like an afterthought. I think I went out of my way to like put together this nice segment, you know, tell you I'm not happy to, you know, I'm very appreciative and thankful for what you did before.
All right, invite coming your way. I'll send you both an invite.
I'm going to decline now before it's even sent. I say save money on the stamp, okay?
Do you think I can get I would love, I don't know if I should do this on the pod, like an alcohol sponsor for my own party? If anyone out there, like, because I got like 125, 150 coming now. It's getting a little pricey. I'd love to get that. I'll throw an alcohol branded party if anyone is listening,
call.
You know?
Reach out.
Like a Dobel tequila or something like that. But, whatever. Invite coming your way.
Yeah.
No. Musk got lost in the mail. All right.
Moving on. Jack does not want the pity invite, Sam.
You both are getting it.
I love it, actually. I legitimately do want the invite. All right. I mentioned in the pre-intro, we're going to try to answer the question, who had the third best year on the men's side? Jack, I want to start with you. I'm not going to go over the players. We know who they are. In your estimation, who had the third best year on the ATP Tour?
I think it's going to be a funny answer because of our talks about him all year, and we didn't know whether he was having a good season or not, but I'm going to go with Felix. Just finishing at your career high ranking, making it to the year in finals for the first time, playing at the level he did to close out the year. Yeah, I don't know what it is about him in general where it is like, I don't think he's maybe like consistently at that high level, but then he does. Then you look back at his year and it was incredible, and he finished five in the world. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Felix, and hopefully he can back it up and keep going and keep playing like this, going to next year's seasons after good preseasons. And but yeah, I'm going to go with Felix on third best year.
All right, Stevie?
I've got some numbers here, if that's right with you guys. I'm going to break it down for you. Ben Shelton had the third best year.
Whoa.
Yeah. Finished 2024, number 21 in the world. Still kind of an unknown. Had some really good results in big tournaments. 2025 will finish the year top 10, number 9 in the world. Got a Masters 1000 title. That's not easy to come by. And then if he could stop losing to these four guys, these are the ones that are confusing. I would say it's a great year minus these four guys. 0-2 against Goffin, 0-2 against Mensik, 0-3 against Munar, and 0-2 against Davidovich Fokina. If he could just take away those losses, a phenomenal year. But I think he had the third best year. He's continually rising in the rankings, and he's getting better. So Ben Shelton, third best year. Top 10, moving on, going to get better.
Okay.
You don't like those numbers, do you?
No, I like the numbers. I disagree with the overall take. I like the numbers. You brought the facts.
Mine is also Ben Shelton. I 100% agree with Stevie. So Stevie just gave all the numbers.
Give me the feelings.
Ben he steps up at the majors. When I got the feeling, especially when I was at the U.S. Open, I know it's a home slam, but he's popular all over the world. On the men's side, ranking aside, Sinner, Alcaraz, Novak, probably the three biggest draws to crowds. Shelton, it felt like, was like the next biggest draws, feel like who the fans wanted to watch. Yes, Stevie?
Yes, he was on Sinner over Fritz basically all first three rounds. So yes, you are correct on that.
Yeah. His like stardom from the beginning of the year to now grew all over the world. I even felt in Turin, he was a massive draw. He was starting to headline night matches anywhere in the world. And so for me, Stevie gave the stats. I'm just going based on feels. Ben Shelton, for me, had the third best year. Bummer he got kind of hurt late at the end.
He did. He got terribly unlucky at the US Open. He, in all likelihood, would be higher ranked than 9.
His athleticism cost him the end of the season.
Yeah.
None of us would have gotten to any of those shots.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. I'm going to say Novak had the third best year. He played like 12 tournaments. He made the semifinals of all four slams and do this at 38 years old. I think the answer is Novak, and I think that's a pretty easy answer. But I like that, you know, Jack's on Felix. You guys are on Ben. I did not see the Ben Shelton answer coming, but I like it. The more I think about it, I like it. I don't think it's the correct answer, but I like where you guys are going. I'm going with Novak. He was ridiculous this year. What he did at 38, we haven't seen this before ever. And he's still going. So in all likelihood, he's going to make some more slam semifinals next year.
Do you think Novak gets 25 next year, John?
No.
over or under 1.5 slam semifinals for Novak next year?
Over.
So you're gonna, you think he's going to make at least 2 slam semifinals next year?
Yep.
I'm with Stevie.
I'll take the under.
Ozzy, I can, I'm going to pencil in for Ozzy. I'm going to just, actually, you know, I'm going to pen him in for Ozzy. I mean, he's won it 42 times. Yeah. So he is going to make the semis there. And then you don't like him on grass or the U.S. Open? Come on now. The French is going to be tricky, but the other two, I think he's got.
RG will be tough.
Yeah.
Give me the under.
Did you guys see that Fritz finishes just outside of the top 5? He finishes 6th this year, but he's got some sort of tiebreaker over Demon. They have the exact
I think he
same
played
number
less
of points. Is that the
I do believe that was the case. If you played less tournaments, or I thought, okay. But again, that's factually great. 50-50 on that.
Okay.
Wow. It's good there's six and seven, like from a bonus standpoint at the end of the year, 6 and 7, there's probably not a big difference. I feel like 10 and 11 or maybe 4-5 or 9 or 20-21 could be a more substantial difference. 6-7,
With the new bonus pool.
Bonus pool, you're right. That's a
decent difference in 6 and 7 and with the new Masters 1000 bonus pool. But anyways, Taylor finishes 6 with the exact same number of points as Demon. Stevie says it's because he played less tournaments. Yeah. But he didn't.
Yeah, it's probably wrong. I said 50-50.
All right. Anyways. I thought that was a good one. Who had the third best year? But
yeah, there's so many ways you can look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know Jack mentioned this on Monday's episode, but you know, obviously we had the big three, and now we have the new two is what they're calling it. Is there anybody that steps up and is the third guy? And to give you some context, back in when Roger and Rafa won all 8 slams in 2006, 2007, Novak won his first in 2008, Australian Open, and that kind of created the big three. Not at that point, but you know, Novak got his start. Does somebody out of the blue, right? But like get a slam this year and like enter themselves into that conversation with these guys? Because Roger and Rafa were well ahead. They had won 8 in a row up until 2008. And then Novak won Aussie 2008 for his first one. Does somebody kind of step up, maybe not Australia, but enter themselves into the big three conversation?
No, I don't think so. And that, even let's say Zverev gets one. Let's say Zverev wins Australia. He's not in the conversation. He just got one.
I'm with
one.
You on that.
Same with,
like he just
same with
wins one.
Fritz, same with anyone.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm just curious, right? Because like that's kind of how it worked. These guys dominated for a couple years. Roger dominated in 2004 and 2005 as well. But then somebody kind of enters that we haven't seen. I don't see that happening, but that's the way it worked. I mean, we're just going to be any comparisons to those guys, right? If you're just drawing any comparisons, but I don't see it. But I just thought maybe you guys had a different opinion. Or
well, I think it would also take like a consistent amount of like results and whatever to put yourself in that kind of, yeah, it can't be a one-off or whatever they're going to, but, and I don't think that's possible. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think anybody thought Novak was possible either in 2008. He wins one and then does what he does.
But how did Novak do in 2006 and 7? Did he have a bunch of like semis and finals already?
I only got winners and runners up. Do you want me to check that?
I'll look. You guys keep talking.
You talk.
Yeah, I think the answer is it's not happening anytime soon. Maybe in 3 or 4 years. Someone could emerge that could challenge these guys. I still don't see that. But, Novak was...
No, 2006, Novak, first round, quarters, fourth round, second round, fourth round, second round, semis, second round.
Pre-gluten-free.
That's it.
Pretty pedestrian. I mean... For somebody of his caliber.
Yeah, but no, to go back to the question, and Jack and I are on the same page here. No one's close.
Okay, just a question.
All right, no, it's a good question. Good question.
No.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here,
right now. Do we want to move on to fan questions? Gentlemen, let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to read the first one here from Kathleen from Dallas. Like that. Okay. Would love to hear y'all's thoughts on this. Now more than ever, I feel like the media keeps pushing the narrative that Yannick and Carlos are friends, but I really don't think they are. While I have no doubts that they're cordial with each other and they enjoy each other's company during media days, etc., I get the feeling the media and tennis fans are pushing too hard for them to be the next Roger and Rafa. Not only in terms of the big two, but also in terms of having this really close friendship. What do you guys think about that? Do you guys think Carlos and Yannick are really tight, or is that all just for show?
Could not agree more with Kathleen.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think Carlos would be more open to it based on personality. I think Yannick is very closed off to his bubble and to his people. I think tennis fans in general obviously loved the Roger Rafa narrative and everything, and they are good friends. And I think because they're retired now and not around, people are fiending for that so much that they're pushing this. Every tournament, I feel like every week now on X you go on, it's, oh, Carlos and Yannick, look at this interaction they had as they're passing by on the practice court. Just because you dap somebody up and smile doesn't mean you guys are like really close friends. Maybe it turns into that over the years with the rivalry and everything, but I think at the current moment, I don't think they're – I think it's being pushed way, way harder than reality.
Okay.
I think they're just as good of friends as like Roger and Rafa were in their prime. Take Roger and Rafa post-tennis out. Like Roger and Rafa were friends, but I never saw them like having dinner together or like hanging out like in the lounge together. I feel like Sinner – and Carlos are friends. They'll chat. They know they have this amazing rivalry. And it is what it is. Just the exact same as Roger and Rafa.
Yeah, no, I think in 10 years, these guys will be really close. But now, like, they're fighting each other for their spot in, you know, the sports legacy and, like, the history. So I think same with Roger and Rafa. Like, once they became older and they can look back with some practicality on what they did in their careers against one another, then they'll become really close. But for now, I mean, I think they're friends. I don't think they dislike one another, which I wish they did, because that would make for some great drama out there. But in 10, 15 years, when they look back and they each have 20 slams, then, yeah, they'll look back and have great friendships like Roger and Rafa do now. But I don't think Roger and Rafa in 2009, 10, 12 were that close. I think Roger was probably kind of annoyed he kept winning French Opens.
I think these guys are – yeah, I differ from you, Jack, but I think they're good friends. I really do. I think it'd be better for ratings if they weren't good friends.
Would be great.
And they could sort of push that, right, if they didn't really like each other. So I think they are. I don't have any reason other than I see their photos, you know, their trophy photos. They look super – but I'm not saying you're wrong. This is what I believe.
Well, I'm going to edit my statement. So I agree that they're friends. I think the narrative not of them to, being yeah. really close is being pushed. I agree with that for sure.
Yeah.
Later in life, 10 years, they're going to be very close because they know what they've done for the sport together.
All right. That's a good one. All right. We got a question from Bethany in New York. What is the one interview guest you'd like to have this off season? There's one guest.
Ben Shelton. Yeah, my number one.
Does it have to be realistic?
That's realistic.
Yeah. No, I'm saying does it have to be.
Just don't say Federer. That's, I think... like, obvious, yes. It has to be realistic.
Were you going to say Fed?
Yeah, who wouldn't want to ask him questions? Of course. What do you mean?
Okay, give a realistic one. Let's okay, all give okay. a realistic one.
Okay.
I have Phil.
Okay. All right, I'm going with Novak. Yeah. I think it's realistic.
I do too.
So
I would also say Novak, actually. Would have been mine.
Medvedev, dude. I think it would be hilarious.
I DM'd him. I went on red.
You did again. We'll have to go through some different channels.
Not again, but it's been a while. Maybe I'll reach out to him.
Keep reaching out. Don't quit in you, buddy.
He left you on scene?
Yeah. It's so embarrassing when that happens.
0-26 in your career now this year.
Yeah.
Next question from Fabrizio in Italy. This is a great question. And it's quite simply, who had the best season, Alcaraz or Sinner?
Alcaraz.
Mm.
Okay.
I know they each won two slams, but Alcaraz also finished number one. I'd rather finish number one in the world than win the year-end finals.
Correct.
So like two slams and end the year number one trumps two slams and winning the year-end finals for me.
Agree. For sure.
Yeah, nobody really talks about year-end finals like, you know, Rafa never won. It's not going to hurt his legacy.
No.
No, you're right. It's not. But I'm going to go Yannick had the best year. He missed 3 months.
Yeah, no, it's...
Yeah, I mean...
He missed 3 months, and he finished 500 points behind Carlos.
It's a valid argument, for sure.
Or roughly 500 points. Yeah, he didn't play. He missed three Master Series.
He also was 1 point away from winning... Or no.
He was 1 point away from...
Yeah, winning Roland Garros, too.
Yeah,
so I'm going to go with Sinner. Yeah, I mean, he had the cloud of that suspension over him, which was huge news at the beginning of the season. But to miss three Master Series events and finish only 500 points behind Carlos, I'm going with Sinner. There, had the best year. But the history books, of course, will say that probably Carlos, as he finished number one in 2025.
I feel like Carlos's popularity, like, increases at a more rapid rate than Sinner's too, just because of the way he plays and his personality, and he does more exos and things like that. So his global popularity went up at a higher rate than Sinner as well.
For sure.
Where would you want the year end? If you could put the year end finals anywhere in the world, what city would you want it in?
New York City.
Yeah. MSG, dude.
Yeah.
They had it at, they did have it at MSG at one point, right?
A long time. They had the women's there. I know that. But yeah, dude, like, especially now with two Americans, like maybe a third one sneaks in. Like,
do we not think like the tennis fans in Europe are maybe a little like,
that's
more
what I was
passionate. I'm with Jack. Like I almost,
but it's been in London forever. Hasn't been in the States since Houston or no?
Houston back in the day, I think.
Right. Is Houston the last time it was in the States or am I off on that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It was in Houston. That was kind of weird.
I think
right?
London seemed like it was pretty good.
2003 or 2004 in Houston.
But I'm like, any big European city for me kind of trumps even New York City, I feel like.
It's just MSG. It's just, you gotta do it.
Yeah.
Is the 1 p.m. Monday or Tuesday session at MSG with Demonauer against Zverev sold out?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it probably is. But is it as good as like Turin 1 p.m. session?
Well, it's also different. I don't think the Turin stadium is as big as MSG, so that's a little different.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, a little on the smaller side. It's like 12,000 seats in Turin. Great atmosphere, though. But
correct.
It's a little on the
They should have it in the Maldives.
That's good, Jack. Oh, man. Did you guys see some of these YouTube comments? I didn't see this in the rundown.
Yeah, this is great.
It's actually pretty good.
I did have a follow-up to the John Isner tree question. Look, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
We have holiday decorate. We have Christmas decorations up. Like I'm in. I just no music till after Thanksgiving.
Oh, dude, guys. Speaking of trees, it rained here the other day.
Oh, yes.
Overnight at 3 a.m. we hear like a whoo in the backyard. I'm like, all right, tree branch fell down. We go out. We have an oak tree in our backyard that is 100 feet tall. The whole thing fell over on the kids' playhouse. Would have just smashed anyone. It's still in the backyard right now.
No way. You're lucky, dude. Holy cow.
Oh my God. Like this was like, if you were in there.
I know, but like how close is that tree to your house?
It's probably 70 feet away. It wasn't close to the house, but it's going to take a crew of like seven guys, like 3 days to chop this thing up and haul it out.
What do you mean haul it out? Use it for firewood.
Dude, I don't live in the wilderness.
No, like, John, come on. We're not
fireplace.
Doing that.
Okay. Sorry.
We're not going out there to chop wood in Southern California. That's
insane. I'm
not saying
Sam's going to chop it. I'm saying, like, have some firewood.
We do have a wood fireplace. I don't even know. Like, maybe. We might save some. We actually talked about that.
There you go.
Anyway.
It's your tree.
Yeah, pretty nuts.
Over under on one piece you save, it's under.
Anyways. So with the holiday things for me, by the way, this tree is looking a bit dilapidated. it's fake. I need to fix the top of it. It's got a bad look. You know, it's Maddie. She put the Christmas decorations up. Like, if it was up to me, I would probably wait till after Thanksgiving to throw them all up. But we have the lights on outside and everything. But we have not. I haven't heard Christmas music yet, so I'm happy about that. Sam, you got the elf on the shelf behind you. Are you doing that already?
We didn't start that till I just have it here so the boys don't see it. But our house full. We have Christmas trees up every hall. Every Christmas decoration is full on up in the house.
Yeah, it's the way to do it. It's the best time of year.
I have a tree up as well, in case anyone's wondering.
All right.
We're wondering.
Sam, this comment is kind of specifically for you. And you went on your yoga rant last week, which was great. And so this user on YouTube writes, married girl here. I'm sipping on my bulletproof matcha as you guys are talking about your yoga experience. Excuse me. Hilarious. I never miss an episode. P.S. Sam, please comment on Djokovic mentioning you about y'all's Wimbledon match in 2016 in his recent interview with Piers Morgan. I did not see that. So your take would be good to hear, Sam.
He did Novak did a sit down with Piers Morgan last week for an hour talking about his life. And part of it was when I beat him at Wimbledon in 2016, Novak kind of mentioned that in 2015-16, he was on top of the world. No one could beat him, which was kind of true at the time.
Yeah.
And look, there's a bunch of quotes in here. When I was playing him in that match, it was over a course of 2 days, called for darkness. We had rain delays. Novak, if you remember during that match, was mentally like not like dialed in as we know he can be like most of the time. So I knew when I was playing him, like, all right, he's just like something's off. And he mentioned it in that Piers Morgan interview, saying, I was two sets to love down. I won the third set, gained momentum, felt better about being on the court. There was another rain delay, and I went back to the isolated room. At Wimbledon on court one, if there's a rain delay, they have these little tiny, like, it's almost like a doctor's waiting room right inside the tunnel that you'd sit in if it looks like the rain delay is only going to be less than 30 minutes. Back to Novak. My team comes in, and I'm like, guys, you have to leave me alone. I want to be by myself. I don't want to talk. I left the bags. Everything didn't want to drink anything. He said he just stared at the wall for 20 to 30 minutes, and it was the first time he felt empty. So like something was going on in his life, and obviously when I was playing him, I didn't know what was going on. I still don't know what was going on necessarily, but you could tell when we were playing that he wasn't the normal Novak. There were times that he would try, he would break me or hit a big point, try to engage the crowd, try to get back into it, but he just couldn't sustain that normal Novak focus that we all know he had. But it was interesting to like hear that little clip. I didn't watch the entire Piers Morgan interview, but I definitely saw that clip, and I remember the moment and remember something over the course of those 2 days that he was a little off. And that just goes to show, like, I think even when Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, Alcaraz, Sinner, when these top guys aren't on, like the guys ranked 5 to 50 can beat them, which makes them so much more impressive that those days rarely happen, that, you know, they go years and years without having these mental laughs. But yeah, Novak was something I'm assuming, like, you know, in his personal life was going on, and it definitely showed on the court that day or those 2 days.
That's good insight there. I did not see that interview. I saw that, of course, it went down. Piers was a critic of Novak's years ago, but they sort of made him in. So I need to need to watch that. Good answer, Sam. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. We are currently in the middle of the Davis Cup finals right now. 8 teams competing right now. The end of the year. Yes, the season is still going on. It's crazy, but it is still going on. Guys, I feel like we've talked about this a lot. And Stevie, I think you feel pretty strongly about this. Like, this format for Davis Cup,
horrible.
It's pretty brutal, right? I think especially horrible for fans. It's
terrible.
Hard to,
it's awful. Hard to, Davis Cup stinks. The format stinks now. Sucks for the guys that – it sucks for the guys. You guys know how much fun we had those weeks. Like, when we get there, you play one tie, 3 out of 5, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, I thought it was just great fellowship weeks with your team that you didn't often get to do, right? Everything's individual. So I love those weeks. Now it's just so segmented, and, you know, you never know if you're getting a home tie, if you're away, you make a finals, it's a neutral site. I don't know. The Davis Cup should have home ties, and that's it. But I just fully believe that they should have home ties. Do it every 2 years, do it every 3 years. I don't care. But like, we got to find a way to get back to the old format.
Everyone feels the same way. Even the players. Everyone Done. Feels the same way.
Enough.
Lucetti not playing.
It's in Italy. I mean, it's in Bologna. And yeah. Yeah. And Sinner and Musetti are not playing. I mean, that just kind of goes to show you right there that the format is pretty broken, that those their top two players are not playing this week in Italy.
I mean, we're in tennis. If I right now went to you guys and said, give me the eight countries that are in the Davis Cup, you could probably just guess four, but we don't even know. Like, you know, I'd be like, oh, I got to go look, and you got to see what guys are playing. The guys just don't care. They got to go, like Stevie said, every other year, once a year, every other year.
Correct.
Yeah, I like that, every other year. Jack, did you like the old format? I mean, like, did you think it was too much? If, you know, if you made it deep, if you went to the semifinals, like I think our, you know, USA, at least when I was playing, we went to the semifinals a few times. We had to travel quite a bit. I mean, Jack, you and I played two separate back-to-back road ties in Australia.
Yeah, my first few Davis Cup experiences were at Uzbekistan, at Australia, at Australia.
Yeah,
that's how I started. So like miles like after, to play.
Like after the Aussie Open, like yeah. Right after the Aussie, like go back like, home, then go back.
Yeah, it was Australia, then come back, play Delray in New Orleans, Miami, and then go back to Australia.
Yeah.
It was, but I the old format, obviously, yeah, I completely agree. Way better. Even away ties, but you have like the fellowship with the whole team and you're like playing cards and having team dinners, and it was still really fun even on away ties. And home ties were a blast. We actually would get, you know, we get solid crowds, and we'd have, you know, the traditions with the team, and yeah. I don't know, just the whole vibes were really fun. You knew it, you were there for the week, long weekend, and you knew what you're trying to do throughout the year. I didn't even know Davis Cup was going on after the finals. Like it's too much right now. But yeah, I do miss the old Davis Cup days. Were awesome.
Yeah, and the home crowds were so good.
Yeah,
like right, and like with this neutral atmosphere thing, it's you know,
terrible.
The whole allure of Davis Cup was like seeing that home crowd like get behind their guys.
Yep.
You don't have that. I mean, yes, Italy, they're going to get behind there, but like it's one site for eight teams, right? It's a neutral atmosphere. And to your point, Sam, Carlos Alcaraz, who is playing, he defended the guys who decided not to compete with it. His quote was, the ITF has to do something in this event because I think playing it every year is not as good as it might be if you're playing every 2 or 3 years. I think the tournament is played. I think if the tournament is played like every 2 or 3 years, the commitment of the players is going to be even more because it's a lot more unique. Like nail on the head.
Yep.
Right there from Carlos. Yeah.
And they're also doing it like these guys have to play Davis Cup at a certain point to then play the Olympics. So like they're only playing Davis Cup to then play the Olympics, right? Point. Like they don't want to play Davis Cup. They're just making themselves available. Some guys are because they have to do it.
They have to get rid of that rule tool.
Exactly. Like they shouldn't have a carrot on the end of that stick. Like, oh, you have to play Davis Cup. Like if you're number two, if you're Carlos and you don't play any Davis Cup because you're hurt, like you're playing the Olympics. That's insane. Like that's insane to me. I mean, not saying that he's the guy, but you know, if you're 30 in the world, like just it's ridiculous.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. Enough Davis Cup talk.
We're going to break down all the results on Monday because it's still going on right now. It'll be good to break down.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but let's end the show this Friday episode with a little stock review. Kind of, we made some like
portfolio review.
We made some like, portfolio review, made some like fall predictions. And then we also like we sold and we bought some players just after the US Open. Jack, you said Mickelson, you bought Mickelson.
Run through them all. Let's see how, just give the buying and give the selling.
Okay. I bought Medvedev. He went from 18 in the world after the US Open, which is crazy to think, up to 13. And he won a title. So pretty good buy. I mean, not really off the beaten path there.
Oh, you got an 8% return late in the year on that one.
Yes, I did. I did. Exactly. I'll take it. Jack, you bought Mickelson and Minshik. Not great picks. They did not do so well.
Well, Steve picked Minshik.
I picked Minshik. Can, yeah,
sorry. Oh, my bad.
You were ready to lay into me, though. I appreciate that. Yeah.
My bad. Sorry. I can't read that.
To clinch Davis Cup after the U.S. Open, I thought we were going to catch some stride. And then it was just,
yeah. Jack, you both Mickelson. Yeah, sorry. We had one pick each. Stevie and Jack, not great picks. Sam, you actually made a solid pick for once. Kind of.
Yeah, it's not that exciting.
But you met Opelka. He climbed 12 spots from 62 to 50, like a nice 4% return.
Yeah. You know, I'll take it. In this climate, I'll take it.
All right. Those were our buys after the US Open. Then we had some selling candidates after the Open. Stevie, you said Tsitsipas.
Yeah.
He did not play.
Yeah, so good call. He stinks.
Good call.
Phenomenal.
I mean, he was. He was, you know, he won the World Tour Finals, dude, and now he's he's not seeded in Australia. That's crazy.
Well, he might sneak in a seed, but yes, like he's 34. He's ending the year 34 in the world. Sam, this is a horrible call. You sold Bublik. And yep. He made a Master Series semifinal, and he was an alternate in tournament. He's finishing top 10, right? Is he finishing 10 or 11? Doesn't matter. Bublik is up to his career high. Finished the year strong.
Yep, I missed it.
Yeah. I picked Schoppo.
Although I'll say this, right after the US Open, he did throw in a couple early losses, so it looked like a good pick for a second.
Yeah, but that's what he does.
No, he won like Huangzhou or something.
I know, but I'm bad pick. Bad pick.
A prediction for his year-end ranking next year would be a good
yeah.
Jack and I sold Schoppo, he treaded water, and Cerundolo treaded water. But not much to talk about there. They kind of stayed the same. I think it's worth mentioning again that the season stocks weren't great. And it was led by Sam's pick that Carlos finishes outside of the top five this year.
Hey, sometimes you swing, sometimes you miss.
Can we always talk about this? I think I phrased that as a question, by the way.
Nope.
Does Carlos finish out the top? All right.
Fine. It was like bold takes. It wasn't,
Horrible. Horrible for me.
We have it. Check back in one of our old social clips. We have it. I'll send it to you later.
Don't do that. I overreacted off a couple Carlos losses late 2024.
Does Carlos finish outside the top two, Sam?
It's a 7,000 point difference for him to finish outside the top five.
No, I'm never going against Carlos ever again in any match.
Smart man. You're a smart man.
Good stuff.
That's it. Was it jam-packed Friday? Thought that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Enjoyed it.
Please subscribe to it. We're going to do the thing that Sam does not like.
Why do we do it? Obviously, if you're listening, you've subscribed.
No, that's not true.
No, maybe not. That's I don't know. True. Maybe you can just kind of pop in. But we would like you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, our Spotify, and
just
Apple
feels
Podcasts.
Like thirsty when we say that. Not when anyone says that, it totally is.
But everyone has to say
a little
it.
Nudge. Like, a little nudge. I don't love it. Just a little nudge.
Fine.
Subscribe. Give us a rating.
It's sponsor. Hey, I also want a sponsor for my Christmas party. I want a sponsor for my Christmas party.
Yeah.
Thanks for the invite.
Pot aside.
I feel like I was like a forefront thought on that one. The other two guys are afterthoughts.
That's an understatement.
They're getting a pity invite late here.
Yeah. All right. Don't be surprised if I show up. If I fly 3.5 hours.
I should invite one fan, one Nothing Major fan, like a giveaway to my Christmas party.
Ooh, I like
There'll be some other tennis players. You know what's lame? Like, there's a few other tennis players in Southern California. I was tight to an area like that live an hour from me. I was tight to invite them.
Did you invite him?
Like Jim Courier. I was like, tight. Like, what if he comes and has a bad time?
Did you invite him?
No, I was too scared.
But I don't think he wants the invite.
I don't think he does either. I didn't invite Marty Fish, who's close. Again, like, I was too scared. I like him. If they want to come, they hear this. But, like, I don't want them to feel obligated to drive. It's like an hour to my house, as Stevie knows, for these people. Like, it's a long way. And, like, God forbid they don't have a nice time. I feel so self-conscious. Like, if like Courier or Sloan is here, I feel like I'd be catering them the whole time. Are you okay? You need anything? And like, I wouldn't enjoy it.
All right. Good show, boys.
Yeah.
Good stuff, guys. Hancock, Stevie, Sam, appreciate you guys.
Great stuff.
We'll see you guys on Monday. Thanks for listening in.
SpinQuest Social Casino. The presents are open and you're over the in-laws. It's a perfect time to grab your phone and play SpinQuest.com with live dealer blackjack, craps, and a ton of slots. And here's a great deal for the holiday, a $30 coin pack for $10. And if you're hearing this ad, you can play right now on SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.